It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi, I'm the Professor Santa Stark.
You've changed your name.
Oh, just for today.
You've
just
changed your name.
Just at
you
that
can't
time
change your name.
Sorry. Okay, I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Santa Stark.
I'm Jason Murray.
And somebody's in the corner here.
I don't know who this man is. We haven't seen this man in a very long time.
No, we haven't. No.
I'm one of the elves. I'm Jeff Quattromani.
The lesser known elf.
The lesser known.
The lesser known eighth elf.
The much hairier
one. We also have the guest appearance of Jeff's microphone arm tonight.
We do indeed.
It won't be talking that much more tonight.
We do indeed. We should also say hello to Jeff's mum who is listening.
Mm-hmm. And also my mum who is actually probably listening.
No way.
Oh. Yeah. I get a text every week from my mum after the show.
Okay,
that's awesome.
Okay,
so there's two people listening.
At least two people listening.
Which host she is? I can't see which one she is. Okay, welcome all our listeners, both of you,
mm-hmm.
and our friends in Puerto Rico,
and our friends in
who listen every week as well.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. You've got some news to tell me, have you?
No, I don't.
Welcome.
There's going to be a new following for the Gadget Grill in Japan after last week.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, welcome to the Gadget Grill, where today we're going to give you 5 tips for how to
pad out your radio show.
Pad out your radio show. Exactly. We're seeing so much of that sort of rubbish in the print media. We decided we would join the throng and 5 tips on how to pad out your radio show.
There's actually a really good reason for it, though.
Okay, go for it.
At this end of the year, there's so little content.
Well, that's not true. What are we going to talk about tonight, instance? You got any ideas?
I've got no idea.
Jeff?
We're working on it.
We're working. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yep. Jeff's got his laptop open. I've seen him cranking out a script.
I have all the Googles typing away and working on
all
it.
Of the
Both
Googles.
Of them?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. How about the W's? Have you got the W's there as well?
I have 3 of them.
3 of them.
Working right at it.
I am impressed, Jeff.
Yeah.
Do you know what impresses me most about that, Jason?
No.
That Jeff can count to 3.
Oh.
And it's not just 6 U's, it's 3 W's. Come on.
I am.
Guys?
Gary, do you have any music?
I do have music, and I do have a song, especially for Mr. Quattromani and his delightful young bride.
Oh,
the
you
child.
Assume.
The child bride. Well, I know she's not over 6.
Whoa.
The child bride.
Whoa.
But yeah, no, yes, she is the bride.
She is the bride. I love this, how the groom comes back and then immediately takes off to Japan for a trip. A solo trip, yeah. You couldn't even wrangle a ticket for her on the boondoggle?
No, well, it wasn't required.
That's not the point.
I'm a member of some Transformers collectors groups on Facebook, and there's been a discussion this week of people getting married and then going on a honeymoon and then leaving their new wives on the honeymoon. So that
was there any particular person that you were talking about in this?
It's probably been me.
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, okay. We'll get the music going here on the Gadget Grill.
I think we should. It's gone south early.
I don't know. It normally destroys itself in the first couple of minutes. We're keeping our record in. Yeah. This is Skyhooks, and especially for Mr. Quattromani and the child bride, All My Friends Are Getting Married.
Stay.
And we're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ, 88.1 FM, and broadcasting over the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
And if you pedal faster, you'll get the website back up.
You will.
Indeed, indeed. Ah, it is time for the news.
Yes.
Jeff, seeing as how you've been absent for the last month almost, we'll let you go first with the news. Do you have any? Because you only just got back from Japan when?
On Thursday.
Oh, you've been back plenty of times.
Yeah.
You should have some news for us.
I have plenty.
Go for it.
So, interestingly, parents are having, or people are having kids and becoming parents.
What?
This is what's happening out there.
Jason, I'll explain all this to you later on.
There is a story here. And the interesting part is that in 2015, Jason, pull up when you recognize any of these names. In 2015, there's some new names appearing and with a rapid trend. Lux, Juno, Rays, Ludwig, Amaro,
Ludwig.
Valencia,
Ludwig.
Willow.
What are these brands?
These are children's
early,
names.
Early Bird.
Children's names?
Children's names, which are growing in trend.
Early Bird.
They are Instagram filter names.
I know, I heard of it.
Yeah, that's right.
So parents are starting to...
I will see your Instagram names.
Yes.
And raise you. People have been trolling available domain names.
Yeah.
And
how do you troll a domain name?
You search for a domain name that is available. Mm-hmm. You register the domain name and you name your child after the domain name that you have registered.
Sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
This is going to end up the way the way shelf companies do. So you're going to have XY, well, I could say that, but that actually has a different meaning as well. Who knows XYZZY?
No.
No?
No.
Can I point out?
Okay, that's a quiz for our listener. We'll come up with the answer for you next week. XYZZY. It is historic in tech terms.
Can I just point out, in terms of like reserving names for your children?
Yep.
One of my friends has two kids, and when his wife was pregnant with their first, they decided on their boy's name and the girl's name. They now have one of each. And they registered...
They didn't have triplets, one of each?
No. They registered Google accounts for each of them to ensure that they could get their name at Google, at gmail.com.
Oh, right.
So... So now they have both a boy and a girl, and so they've got their accounts sitting in the wings, waiting for them to become old enough to actually use them.
What about Twitter handles?
No.
Wow. I would find that more important than an email address.
No, because like a Twitter handle, you need to choose for yourself.
I like the idea of getting a domain name, because then you can have
me
Gary at or me at myname.com.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes a lot more sense to me than a Google one.
But that's more difficult. That's really difficult for me because, like, Murray.com has been taken ages ago.
What about JasonMurray.com?
It's kind of boring.
No, it's not.
Why would that be
JasonM.com.
Boom.
No.
MurrayJason.com.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Murray.
We just can't please him.
No, they're all boring.
What about JM77.com?
I could do that.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
That was easy.
But like
MURR-AY.com. MURR-AY.
Oh yeah, I just finally got the spelling together.
Right, yeah. Well, Lee
it's been a few weeks. Jeff is not quite back in the saddle just yet.
Well, on that subject, Lee did something that was rather interesting because it is Lee D. Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And if you run it all together, he's got a website called Lee's Dark. Least Ark. LEASD. LEASEDARK.
Oh, yeah.
Least Ark.
Gosh, I'm slow.
Which is, I thought that was rather clever, and why the hell couldn't I come up with something as clever as that? I don't know. I've got three stories that segue together.
Wow. That's a lot to put in a one.
I know, but it's all good stuff. Let's start with the court case on, I think it was Thursday in Melbourne, where Uber was found, an Uber driver has been convicted of driving a... hire a car for hire without the appropriate commercial license.
In Melbourne or?
In Melbourne, in Victoria.
Was he an Uber driver or an Uber X driver?
This is Uber X.
Okay, right.
So basically this has declared Uber X to be illegal in Victoria.
Yep. Unless they get the proper license.
Which is expensive.
Yeah. In Canberra, it's legal. In New South Wales, they're looking at making it legal. But in Victoria, it is now, without a doubt, illegal. The guy's been fined $900 odd. And it's going to be a very interesting next few months.
Mm. So I had a I take UberX when I go to the airport. And
I'm so sorry.
I've never done X. I'm fine with it. I don't like X because
I'm on the road all the time. I see how bad the drivers are, and I'm not saying UberX drivers are bad, but
well, they're individuals. Like they're individuals. Individuals can be bad, and individuals can be
precisely bad, course, my point. That's fine. And it's potluck.
So anyway, back to my story.
Of course,
I often go to the airport, and there's a very large billboard at Sydney Airport now that says, ride-sharing services, you may as well be hitchhiking.
Interesting.
It is especially interesting because the hitchhiking aspect is actually more appropriate to a taxi than a ride-sharing service, because a ride-sharing service, you've applied for the ride and the driver has accepted your job.
It's
completely the opposite of hitchhiking.
Yeah, there is an absolute record of who you are, who the driver is. Oh. Everything there. Yes, Jeff, you may speak.
I have to talk about this. It's still related. So I got back to the airport on Thursday morning. I had my car parked at the Blue Emu on the domestic side.
Blue Emu.
You know the Blue Emu car park?
Long-term parking.
I don't drive, so I don't know this.
So I came in on international, so I walked out with my bags, and I couldn't find a way to get to the Blue Emu because it's more of a domestic long-term parking lot.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I can't get an Uber because they're banned from the airport. They're literally just not allowed to pull in there, right?
Yep.
So I thought, I'll have to line up for a cab. Did that. Taxi driver came, put my bag in the boot.
Didn't want to take you to the domestic.
He didn't know at that point. Get in the car. I said, mate, I'm just going to the Blue Emu because I couldn't find a way to get there. The rant and swearing he carried on about was just embarrassing.
Question. Why didn't you just take the train?
Take the train.
From international.
Not from
to
the
domestic.
International.
I have no idea. Well, I don't even know about
it. I don't
that.
Think you can.
But yeah, I said to him, mate, it's just a quick fare. You'll get back pretty quick. And he was just going, you need to, you know, find other ways. This is ridiculous. And I'm going, mate, it's going
to
be all right.
What you do is you take his number. Once he's not allowed to refuse the fare.
Unbelievable. Well, that's right. He took me. It was fine.
And he's not allowed to. If he complains about it, you should report him.
But I was sitting there going, this is why people are
moving away from
cabs.
This is why people don't
cabs.
Like taxis.
This is the exact problem. And And it's just, but then on, you know, on Saturday night, I was at a Christmas party in the city. I got an Uber home. I was just so happy to be back.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Second story with Uber.
I have an Uber story as well, actually.
Okay. In America, Uber are delivering puppies.
Oh my God, I want to move to America.
Yeah. No, this is absolutely awesome.
Is it?
They're doing.
Is a puppy for an Uber fare or for life?
No. It is a 15-minute puppy playtime.
Oh, that's great.
They'll deliver a puppy to you for 15 minutes. It costs a few bucks, I think maybe $30 or something. You have a puppy for 15 minutes, and they'll bring the paperwork in case you decide to adopt the puppy as well.
Yeah.
But isn't that an absolute magic concept?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they've actually done that before.
I saw this and I thought that is absolutely wonderful.
So why aren't our local pounds doing something like that?
I don't know.
Because Uber's illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. That's a great. I mean, they've done it for ice cream, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure they could do it for puppies here as well.
Okay. I'm sure they could.
Third story. Before we go, which segues from Uber into puppies, into guide dogs.
Uh huh.
Wait, I actually do have an Uber story.
Yeah, we'll come back to
we'll
that.
Come back to Uber.
We'll come back to Uber. We'll see a segue back to Uber. Yep. But my guide dog, because we're talking about puppies, and who doesn't love puppies?
Mm-hmm. I don't really want a puppy.
Can you cut Jeff's mic, please?
I consider it done.
can still hear him.
I know.
Hello.
He's still there.
Guide dogs, assistance animals, are there to serve their owner, their master.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that selflessly and tirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
They will go out of their way to serve the person to whom they're assigned.
They're brainwashed.
Well, yeah, they are to some point. But what about when there's something wrong with the dog, with the animal?
Mm.
Now, if there's something immediately wrong, if they're not well, then the owners can usually tell that straight away and can deal with that.
Mm.
But if the dog's just tired, exhausted, whatever, there's no way that the owner will know that the dog is actually in distress.
Mm. Mm.
And they're developing some technology, basically some sensors that will go on the dog, on the animal, that will alert the owner to the fact that the dog is, you know, suffering from heat exhaustion in hot weather and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. It's Fitbit for dogs, right?
Exactly.
That's Fitbit pretty cool.
Fitbit for dogs. That's like awesome.
That. Exactly. Uber.
So I saw an interesting story this week. We don't necessarily have this problem here, but we do have similar issues. If you are standing waiting for your Uber ride to turn up, how can you tell, you know, at a glance which car is yours? So Uber sends you the make and model and license plate of the car. But if you can't actually see the license plates, you can't necessarily tell which car is yours in traffic.
Sure.
Uber now has a solution for this that they're trialing in
New York.
Is it New York? Mm. You've seen this story.
Very cool.
They're putting multicolor lights in the left and right sides of the windscreen.
In the A pillars, basically.
Like they have on the race cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you can choose the color for your ride, and so you can tell when you look down a line of traffic, if you can see that color, you know where your car is.
Okay, that's really good, except that Jeff's waiting for his car, and Jeff, you've selected...
red lights.
And Jason, you're waiting for your car, and you've also selected...
pink.
Red. Pink, okay. Pink is going to look like red.
That's a good
red point.
What if we did select the same colour?
And I've selected red as well.
Then we have the licence plates.
No, look, I would...
Once you get to the car or the car gets close enough, you can tell. So my major complaint about Uber's arrival system is they tell you the make and the model and the licence plate of the car. They should really tell you the colour. It would be so much easier if it's
Uber black.
Yeah, but then
even still, you might get a silver or white.
This is true.
Yeah,
but it would just be so much easier if they would say that there's going to be a red
Jason,
Holden Cruise come down the
Jason,
road.
Jason, you're talking common sense.
But there's a reason. No, wait. You're talking common sense,
and I'm talking smart programmers, and you know what I think about smart programming.
Yeah, but there's a reason for this.
Go on.
I'm not a car person. I don't know what a make and model of a car looks like when it's driving down the street towards me. All I can do is wait until I can see the license plate. And by that time, the driver's like, what are you doing? Why are you standing there? Oh, it's you. Fair enough.
If it's three diamonds, it's a Mitsubishi. If it's three pointed star, it's a Mercedes.
Do you always just get a phone
Mitsubishi,
call, though?
Mitsubishi and Mercedes, that's the only cars in your world, right?
No.
So, yeah.
Because...
Yes, I do get a phone call.
Yeah, I always get the call.
Yeah, because Jeff's been ripped off in his purchase of a car.
How so? How?
Because they put a roof on your car that you can't remove.
I can remove it.
But you never do.
Oh wow.
I've decided what the problem is. There's a fault in the car. Yeah, the roof mechanism is clearly faulty.
This is going...
All right.
Moving.
We should move on. We've actually talked a lot about Uber this episode.
I know. Moving right along, I've also got two related stories on Raspberry Pi.
Very nice. Let's hear them.
Yum.
Okay. Raspberry Pi, in the last week,
yes,
announced a new model.
The Raspberry Pi Zero?
That's the one.
$5 computer.
$5 US.
It's so cheap that they've attached it to magazines.
$5 US. They're giving it away free in the Raspberry Pi magazine.
$5. Well,
that's kind of to be expected on the Raspberry Pi magazine.
But that's cheaper than a magazine in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's this one do?
Oh, yeah, so it's $5 US, so it's about $20,000 Australian.
Oh, it's not that cheap.
No. So I get a good rate for my money transfer.
So what does it do then? For $5.
Well, so it's a cut down Raspberry Pi. What are the specs of it? It's not as powerful as the
big Raspberry Pi, which is
about
$40.
Yeah.
But for $5, it's a great little
you can run a cut down distribution of Linux on it. Very cut down. You'd have to supply your own storage. It's got a fairly minuscule CPU and not much RAM.
It's not sounding that great.
But it's good enough. It's good enough to boot up Linux and explore doing certain things with the Linux distribution.
You can run
a server on it.
Media server, server.
We were talking about 2RDJ's server before. You could replace 2RDJ's server with a Raspberry Pi Zero.
Well, the second part of
I will
the story,
happily fund that.
The second part.
You have 20,000?
$5.
The second part of this story is. That, let me just pull this up. Who is this? Bitscope. Have you heard of Bitscope?
I have not.
Bitscope are making a blade for Raspberry Pis.
By so blade, you mean a rack mount CPU?
A rack mount.
Okay, because those are constant. Those are commonly referred to as blades, but yes. Yeah, not for consumers.
No, they're making rack mount boxes for Raspberry Pis.
There was a company a while ago that made rack mount boxes for Mac Minis as well.
Yeah.
So right. it's kind of a thing. But you could fit a lot of Raspberry Pis into that box.
Into a rack.
But I wonder about like all of the connections and all of the ports that you'd have to build for them.
Well, don't forget the Raspberry Pi's got all the ports built into it as well.
No, but it's got the ports, but you still need to connect stuff up to it. And so like if you were going to put the Raspberry Pi, vertically, then you'd need to plug stuff into the top and the bottom of it. Yeah. And so it's like, rack mounting that sounds interesting.
It's taking power supplies into it and everything. It sounds like a very,
sounds
very...
sounds like a lot of wires, but yeah, very interesting.
Sounds very... Well, even a normal rack has got a lot of wires.
Can you make a Beowulf cluster of Raspberry Pis?
Well, you probably can because they're talking in terms of using this as a cluster for servers.
Interesting.
You get the proper Raspberry Pi, put half a dozen in there, you got yourself a little rack of servers. Which is quite nice, and they also run Windows 10 these days.
So how many Raspberry Pis are they looking at putting per blade? Like 10,
they've got
or?
Different models, 1, 4, 10, 20, 50, I think. So that's pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, there's a lot of different opportunities to put the put your servers in there. Like, you might have a different client per server because they are still, they're fairly underpowered as server architecture goes.
Yeah, but even so, if it's just a small local server or something like that. Okay, Jeff, you asked for it. Here it is.
Yeah.
You're back with the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. And we are appearing in the studio live in 3D in a homage to virtual reality.
We are. We are virtually real.
We are real.
Here.
You guys are appearing in very vivid, lifelike 3D to me.
Does it look real?
Good. Yeah.
It looks pretty good.
Really? Yeah. Mm. Okay, cool.
Mm. Yeah, except for Gary's beard. I think that's a little two-dimensional.
It's a little bit unreal.
It's a little fuzzy.
There you go.
So we are going to talk a little bit about virtual reality again. This has become one of our favourite topics. We've moved away from self-driving cars and well onto the virtual reality this year, haven't we?
Indeed, we have. But virtual reality is really becoming, it's really coming into its own over the last couple of months. There's been a lot of interesting things happening. And you've got a couple of thoughts on this, Jason, a couple of ideas.
So there's been some research come out this year that has said that basically the virtual reality hardware and software, market research company, who doesn't really matter, let's be honest, they reckon that the market is going to be valued at $70 billion by 2020.
Now, wow.
Considering that now you can get a Google Cardboard cardboard hardware for £20 or £20, $20 or $50 if you buy yourself a ViewMaster, which is probably the best cardboard viewer out there at the moment.
Yep.
Then that's quite a large escalation of investment in the area. But they say that this is driven a lot by investments that companies like Google and Samsung are making in virtual reality, which they are definitely doing this. Google's been on the cardboard bandwagon and on VR for about 18 months now. they're getting a little bit better at distributing their cardboard viewers to people. They enclose them with newspaper subscriptions in the States.
Hmm.
They have been distributing them here. They had a deal with Telstra for the New Year's Eve fireworks last year. What if they'll do something similar this year?
I remember that, actually. That was quite cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. And they've iterated their... I keep going to say hardware, but it's just a piece of cardboard in the case of Google Cardboard.
Yeah.
They've iterated to Cardboard 2.0 this year. And so it'll be interesting to see whether or not they do much the same thing for Sydney's fireworks.
I think adoption of it's always been one of those things that it's an individual use product.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you use by yourself.
And it's not social because when you're experiencing it, nobody else is.
Mm.
So I think that's always going to be a challenge, is that it really is one of those things that you use by yourself.
Hmm.
Not to say it's limiting, because there's a lot of things that we use only for ourselves. I mean, when you're holding your phone, only you're enjoying the content on that phone. So having that's it right. cover your face isn't so much of an issue, but it does disconnect you from people around you. So I don't know if that's a limitation or if it's just something that people will get used to over time.
I think you can have social experiences that connect people inside those apps, but it's still an individual experience. You just might share it with other people. In terms of software and investments on that, we did hear that this week Google's got a cardboard camera app.
Yeah,
and so I've seen that. The idea with that, I mean, Google's camera app, which has been downloadable and installable on any Android phone for a while, has long had a feature called Photosphere.
Mm.
It takes a while to make one.
Yeah.
But I actually went to a friend's event in Parramatta this morning, and so I stood up in the center of the stage and took a Photosphere, which is a 360 degree panorama of the entire room and everything that surrounds you.
Yeah.
So including above you and below you. Now, the only way that you can actually view that probably at the moment is on Google Plus or on your phone.
Yep.
But you can take that phone, you can take that and you can put your phone into a cardboard viewer and put the, you can put the viewing app into the right mode, and you can use that to view the scene as I was standing there and look around the room. So
good point.
It'll mirror your phone's movements.
Mm.
So Google's released that app, so that's allowing anyone to now much more naturally take photospheres by putting their cardboard viewer up and, you know, tracking them as they actually look around the room with their head instead of just holding your phone up and moving around and lining up dots.
Interesting. I mean, I've been waiting for the big product that sort of tips things over the lines with VR. And
I don't know who it's going to be.
I almost think it's going to be PlayStation.
Oh, so the Sony Morpheus technology.
So that VR headset that they've been demoing to people looks fantastic. A lot of people have been gaming on their consoles by themselves lately because if they play things online.
Hmm.
So I play a lot online with friends, then just not next to me. So if I had a headset to take that experience into it all, then that works. So if I just need a headset to play online with my friends, no problem. I don't need the TV for that.
How would the headset make your friends appear, though?
No, it doesn't make your friends appear, but I'm using my console to play whatever game it is online with them anyway, right? Mm. If I'm just taking the experience away from the television and putting it on my face in a virtual reality headset, then that's fine. And that takes away that whole, oh, I'm not used to wearing headsets or I'm not used to doing that. Bang, I now have a headset that I play my games on and interact in that world. So then moving on to something like a virtual reality experience through cameras or whatever it is, I think that's your next logical step.
Fair enough. I guess with that, I sort of struggle to understand why the VR is necessary to play against your friends.
Oh, because in the game, you're actually in a virtual world. And when you do look up, it's the same as using your controller to actually look up and things like
that. Right, but yeah. So, I mean, like, there's playing with your friends and then there's playing a VR game as well.
Well, it's both. Because from a social level, you're still playing with friends, right? You're just not in the same room as them. But you're actually using a VR headset to do your gaming instead.
Hmm. So on the communal experience side of things, I remember last year when I got my hands on the Gear VR for the Note 4.
Yep.
One of the experiences that I liked the best out of that was the cinema, where you
really
would, yeah it was the cinema experience was
just
fantastic.
Gives you a different. It gives you an almost cinema-like experience.
It was,
watching
it does,
it.
Yeah.
It was tacky.
Yeah. No, but I thought it was a really good representation of a cinema for one. And
yes,
the fact that you can be in a cinema and you can look away from the screen and things still happen on the screen while you're looking away from it.
Why would you want that?
Because what if you could have a virtual screening with your friends?
Uh-huh.
Because the big thing that everyone found off-putting about that was that when they looked down directly, there was no body in the seat.
Oh, where have my feet gone?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, where are my legs?
Where's your entire body gone?
Yeah.
But what if you could actually? What if you could? A, you would be there, and so you would be able to look down and see yourself.
Move some augmented reality into that sphere.
Yeah. And what if you could look around the room and see all your friends sitting there and you had a shared viewing experience, which is something that is already happening on the Xbox. So you can have a viewing room where you can all watch the same video together. And so moving that into VR would be fantastic.
Okay. Excellent.
Mm. I'm just umming and ahhing about that one.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Jeff also has not actually experienced the ViewMaster yet, so we're going to have to get that. We're going to have to fix that next week.
We'll fix that for him next week. We'll have Jeff have that, and then we can do a proper review of the ViewMaster VR. This is Max Merritt and A Little Easier. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Christmas is coming. Santa is on his way. Sitting in the driver's seat here at the studio at the moment.
We could be mistaken for thinking that you're Santa with that beard.
Exactly my point.
Yeah. That's it.
Dee and I were
you might be more bad Santa, I think.
Dee and I were discussing this afternoon the possibility of getting something like a Great Dane, strapping reindeer antlers to its head, and me wandering around in a red suit with a dog in front of me like that. That'd be fun. Christmas. We're going to just run through a few quick suggestions for you.
Yeah. So I'm trying to break this up in my head into small categories and defining people.
I can see a couple of bits that you've broken up and they're just falling onto the floor there, Jeff.
So to say, for example, there's a person in your life who's into sport. Let's
picture right. There's a person in your life that's your friend into
who's
sport.
There's a person in your life who's into sport.
The fitness guy.
The loves fitness
to
guy.
Run, the gym junkie, whatever you want to call them.
I have trouble with the concept of fun run, but can you carry on?
Oh, so do I. I think it's ridiculous. However, what sort of things could you get that sort of person, right? This is how I would look at it.
Okay, yeah.
So let's take the music experience. Mm-hmm. Sports headphones. I think the best pair I've used this year was the Jabra Sport Coach.
Very good.
It talks through your workout with you. It's actually really, really handy. So that's not a bad one. It's sweat and water resistant and all that sort of jazz. So
we should also probably talk about the TomTom Spark music watch.
Absolutely. Well. So that's exactly where I'm looking at. Yeah. So you've got this picture of a person in your head. Mm-hmm. What would you put on them from a tech space?
Would you put on them?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got headphones. Around their wrist, you'd put a...
Words defy me.
You would.
Words that you I can use on the air defy me.
Mm-hmm. You could use a TomTom Spark, which yep. will connect to those headphones as well mm-hmm. and offer them some encouragement for their training as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Does it do your heart rate?
It does heart rate.
Count your steps.
Counts your steps, tracks your sleep.
Love it.
Yeah.
Logs your workout.
Does all of these things. The TomTom Spark's pretty good.
What's the average price on that?
I think it's about $250.
That's pretty good, because even it's if you compare that to like a fitness band, like a mm-hmm. Fitbit or an Up or something, that's still going to be actually quite good value.
Yeah, very much.
All right, so they've got those two bits of pieces.
Okay, mm-hmm. very quickly, something else, because we're running out of time.
Already?
Yeah.
Go.
Jason.
Well, I think we were actually talking about coffee machines.
So, earlier, the kitchen appliance guy.
Yeah, the kitchen. So I want to say my housemate has three blenders because he keeps getting bored of his blender and buying a new one. Okay. We've also traded our coffee machine. We had an espresso machine, and these days we have an Aldi coffee machine as well.
Right. Okay.
So here's where it goes. Then you're moving away from instant coffee. You want to start feeling a bit more luxurious.
Last Sunday at our Thanksgiving dinner, my mum wanted some coffee. She said, "You just use Nescafe."
Oh no!
No, we do not have that in the
house.
Do you
not have International Roast?
No, we have Caterer's Blend.
Blend 43.
This is Bob Dylan, Positively 4th Street. And welcome back to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band.
Gary is in the radio.
Gary is in the radio.
What the hell is that?
Yo, dog, we thought you liked some Gary, so we put some Gary in your Gary so that you can have Gary all night.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to play, but hey, who cares?
So, it's useless gadget time, and Jeff has taken over the duties of providing the useless gadget for the week.
Indeed,
only
he
today.
Has.
It is a product from Japan. It's called the Agonose Arm, and
it's called the what?
Agonose. It's been translated from Japanese. Okay. Now the description is the hunched body, keep the spine and pin by supporting the jaw comfortably. Correction item. So essentially, it's a
chin rest.
It's an arm that connects to your desk and holds your chin up.
Okay. Is this designed for office workers who might fall asleep at their desk?
It's actually designed for people to improve their posture at their desk.
So you don't hunch,
you are resting your chin on a arm that will stop you from hunching into your laptop.
It feels to me like you're going to end up craning your neck.
I think so.
It's going to lead to a whole new kind
of neck
injury.
It'll be the opposite of a hunched back, yeah.
So, Jason, you're suggesting there's an OH&S issue with this.
Yes.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
And it looks ridiculous.
Indeed. It looks ridiculous, but it also looks amazing. I've seen a photograph that you showed us earlier where it's just sitting on the side of someone's face, and it looks like we've caught them mid-slap.
I love this description.
I love that. I love the concept of that. This would be a slapper.
Yeah. I would like to whack an Arduino in there. Maybe put some motors so that someone could control it over the internet.
Let's get our $5 Pi and
get a Raspberry Pi Zero and off you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says this product, other than stop correction, also it can be used as relax item to become comfortably. I love it.
So you could do that. You could set it on the desk so
as
that
a
you
pillow.
Could just lean it and like.
I just love Japanese translations.
Oh, some of them are just so wonderful.
So good.
You've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. The Gadget Grill is constructed lovingly by none other than...
Jason Murray, and I'm sorry.
I'm Jeff Crotchamani. I don't know what I'm sorry for.
But you are sorry.
Always.
Yeah. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Santa Gaz.
Are you sorry as well?
And I'm eternally sorry.
Fantastic.
I'm considered to be a very sorry case, in fact.
Wow.
Very nice.
Apologies all round.
Yeah. Indeed. Taking us out for today's show, this is Herbie Hancock and Maiden Voyage. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Ciao.